From the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, we welcome you to this service of the worship of God. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, together with our entire worship team, including our pastoral assistant for education, Reverend Linda Farmer Lewis, who will be preaching today, our music director, Barb Fuller, accompanist, Deanne McCormick, our worship coordinator, Lorraine Finneson, our production manager, Kim Finneson, and our newest team member, Reverend Jacob Richards, our pastoral intern, who will also be assisting me in the service of Holy Communion today. So, to our entire worship team, our entire Mayflower family, and others tuning in live or to our recorded service online, grace and peace to you in the name of the one who came that we might all recognize peace, know peace, make peace, and live peaceably. I'd like to thank this congregation for allowing me from time to time, time away, which Deanne and I did this week, along with brother-in-law and sister-in-law Paul and Beth Patton, and some of you got a little bit of the news en route when we were plying the waters of the Erie Canal. And from now on, some people will be calling me Captain Mark. But I'll stick with Pastor. We had a wonderful time. Today we will observe the sacrament of Holy Communion virtually. So gather what elements you have in your home, and we will join together at the table of our Lord, remembering who we are in Christ and why we gather for worship. Thanks be to God. Now, next Sunday is Rally Day, a long-standing tradition here at Mayflower Church. In fact, not so long ago, I read the order of worship that happened in 1919 at the Mayflower Church on Rally Day. But it's where we traditionally have welcomed everyone, including teachers and students, back to school and back to church from what we hope was a good summer, sometimes enjoyed up north. In Michigan, we love summer, and while many of our plans this year may have been altered, interrupted, or canceled, we hope you have enjoyed at least some semblance of the outdoors. Regardless, we will all have an opportunity to meet and greet members of our worship team in the parking lot of our church. If there is inclement weather, you will be notified either by email, which could happen on Saturday if there was a bad forecast, or in the worst case scenario, we will announce it during our live stream on Sunday morning. But we expect good weather, and then you can arrive by car anytime between 11:30 and 12:30. Is that time correct, Barb? Into the parking lot from the Bel Air entrance, which means we won't be blocking traffic on the busier highway, Mount Hope. We will look forward to seeing many, if not all of you, through the roll-down windows of your automobile, and we will do this in a socially distanced manner, so we ask you to wear a mask, and we will do the same. You will also have the opportunity to meet Jacob and his lovely bride, Lily, and personally welcome them into the fellowship of our Mayflower family. And I didn't check with you ahead of time, Jacob, but you will be here next week. All right, great. Just don't want to get you confused about that. So in the increasing busyness of the last few weeks, it has been a while since I have spoken to some of you on the telephone, and I will be making an attempt to contact everyone in our church family by telephone this week to give you a personal invitation to Rally Day, which after the worship service will occur in our parking lot. And I want to tell you that I can't wait. So now, let us prepare our hearts, quiet our spirits, and enter now into this special hour set aside once a week in the worship of our holy God.
What a blessing it is to have such wonderful musical talent in the church. Thank you, Linda, Barb, Deanne. Please join me in the gathering prayer. Gracious God, you meet us whenever two or three are gathered in your name. As we gather across the internet and this community, we gather with your people everywhere, and that number innumerable who gather at your heavenly banquet. Meet us here, holy God, in your Son Jesus, who invites us to his feast of love, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever with us. Amen.
Today's epistle reading is Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 12a. Hear now these words. Owe no one anything except to love one another, For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel reading is Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Now hear these words. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Thanks be to God.
It is a privilege for me to step into this pulpit in that great procession of preachers who occupy it. Pastor Mark, my friend, and Dr. Paul Patton, now welcoming Jacob Richards, as well as Deanne McCormick, and Barb Fuller, and Meredith Rogers, who have all, by the name of but a few, who have that cloud of witnesses who have stepped into the gospel task of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ from this spot. Thank you for inviting me today. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we hear in Romans Paul's admonition to love one another as the fulfillment of the law, doing no wrong to a neighbor, and to put on the armor of light. In it, an invitation to healthy community. In the midst of our current national crisis, a welcoming word, is it not? In Matthew's gospel, we hear the recommendation for resolving conflict in the church and community, followed by the promise of Jesus' presence wherever two or three are gathered in his name. The first part informs the last of the passage, and the first part of the passage of conflict resolution anticipates the past. Implied in it is the presence of Jesus in the midst of the conflict resolution, and the resolution being the presence of Jesus itself. Relationship within the community and with Jesus and his promise to be with us when we gather. Who do we think we are meeting when we come to church? Do we have a practiced expectation that we will meet Jesus when we meet together, both in our church buildings and in the world where we do our ministry? How would that expectation change our business, our conduct, our aspirations? How do we practice the presence of God, like the Benedictine order does, observing specific hours of a day of deliberate spiritual practice to cultivate a sensitivity to God's presence? Do we hear Jesus speak to us? Do we even listen for his voice? Now, as a progressive liberal Christian, I often wonder if we in general neglect spending enough time practicing the presence of God. If we sit with Jesus in communion and fellowship with him sufficiently to inform our activism and our work for social justice and peace. I wonder, in these days of political divide and unrest that have touched my former community of Kenosha, Wisconsin specifically, I wonder how Jesus would stand in the midst of this crisis. Who's looking for him in the mayhem? And how are we loving one another as Jesus commanded us to do, and Paul reminds us in Romans is the fulfillment of the law? Now, Dr. Paul Patton, who preached from this pulpit last week, shared with me some words of his mentor, the Reverend John Peck, who wrote a treatise that begins, "I have a vision of a church." In just one sentence, Peck identifies when he says, "I have a vision of a church where the least of its meetings are conducted like royal appointments." Do we see our meetings together in the name of Jesus as a royal appointment? Are we prepared for the Savior of the world to show up at our trustees' meetings? When we gather two or three in his name, do we see him with us? Now, as Dr. Patton preached last Sunday on a sermon on joy, joy as the practiced development of seeing one's life in the framework of saving history. Joy is eschatology, the bigger picture of who our lives belong to, of where our ultimate life is secured and located. The same might be said, I think, of courage. Courage is found from the practiced companionship of the Savior, a courage that leads to a life built on following the Savior into a hurting world. Courage expects Jesus to be there and with us, and it informs our courage. Certainly the call to transform the world by his grace is one we heed when we work for peace and justice. But without Jesus' informing presence among us, gathered as disciples, called into fellowship with him, we can just be noisy gongs devoid of love, or falter in our courage to face so much discord and opposition with that love. Without the presence of Jesus, we despair. Now, we've all had moments where we have felt God's absence. All of us in the midst of mourning and strife can experience a sense of abandonment. A woman I know is trying to save her adult child from the ravages of addiction. He refuses help. With nowhere to turn and no one to intervene in his terrible choices, she asks, "Why won't God help us?" It is the cry of our hearts that we've all known in our suffering, at the bedside of the dying, or a brokenness of a family. The loss of control when we realize we can't make it be okay or go away, or even ultimately shape what happens to us. Yet, the practice presence of God does help. It places us in the arms of a God who's greater than our suffering and puts us in the knowledge of what God has done in Jesus, his solace, in Jesus' own promise to be with us always, even unto the end of the age. That is a powerful companioning love that transforms our life, transcends our circumstances, and places us in proximity to an eternal love that will not and cannot fail us. In 1944, Mary Chase wrote a play named Harvey. Now, Harvey is a pooka, a benign but mischievous creature who is invisible from Celtic mythology, who's especially fond of social outcasts. Enter Elwood P. Dowd. Dowd is a tipsy, amiable, and wealthy man, but aside from his propensity to drink, is a thoroughly decent gentleman who graces every place he and his 6-foot-8-inch invisible rabbit friend go. Dowd introduces all he meets to Harvey, who remains invisible to almost everyone. Elwood says Harvey can stop time and you can travel anywhere for as long as you want and still come back to the same exact time. When Elwood asked why didn't he do it, Elwood said he never does, because there's nowhere he prefers to be than where he is, and no one he prefers to be with and who he's with right then. Every person Elwood and Harvey meet, they befriend. His loyalty to Harvey comes from Dowd's assessment of Harvey's superior moral character and judgment, and just from Harvey's singular magnificence that is worth everything. Is Elwood P. Dowd delusional? Maybe. Having seen the play and movie many times, I have been struck by how it goes as it goes along. You swear after a while you actually see Harvey for yourself. Because we have entered Elwood P. Dowd's world, we begin to see what he sees. Because of Elwood's devotion to Harvey and Elwood's delight in him and the kindness of the love they share with one another and want to share with all they meet, they change the world. They change everybody they interact with, and they begin to see and love Harvey too and are changed for the better. When a psychiatrist asks Dowd to come back to reality, Elwood replies that he's had a battle with reality for years and has finally won. Whose reality do we live in? What reality do we live in? In a day when we don't know what to believe and the alt-reality and the misinformation and the lies are breaking our minds, it seems to be a pertinent question. What is true? What is real? What is the good? And what do we do? John Peck also went on to say in his treatise, "I have a vision of a church whose sympathies are so warm and imaginative that no one has the nerve to indulge in self-pity, and whose ideals are so high that slightly soiled notions are shamed into silence, whose convictions are firm without being rigid, whose tolerance extends even to the intolerant, whose life is an admonition, whose love learns even from its opponents, and whose faith is infectious. I have a vision of a church that is like that because from time to time it hears its Redeemer's voice speak with such authority that nothing will do but obedience, nothing matters but God's love, and others coming in can only wonder and wish and ask." Do we hear and see a Redeemer with such loving authority, such magnificence, that we are compelled to follow him? When we begin our worship, as my home church did as a child, every Sunday morning with this introit, Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Do we see Jesus with us, standing in the aisle and in the pews, in the pulpit? Because he is there, as he promised he would be always. He is a silent listener at every conversation, the unseen guest at every meal, especially the table of Holy Communion. He meets us here in worship, in prayer, in the bread and the cup and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he is with us, we can proclaim good news, preaching the gospel in word and deed, lifting up the presence of God in the world, lifting the cross of saving love in Jesus before a world that needs saving. Because there is good news. There is true news. He is here. He is with us in his risen power, and he calls us to follow him in his love into the world. Now, Kumbaya is a simple African hymn that simply invites Jesus to be in our midst, to come by here, as it's translated. When we summon the presence of Jesus, when we are praying, when we are crying, when we are singing, he will be with us. He will help us. He will lead us. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread. Come drink the wine. Come share the Lord. Thanks be to God, whose presence is God's love to us in Jesus, whenever and wherever we are. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Someone singing, Lord, come.
For all you at home, we will be entering our communion ritual, so please gather any elements you might need to partake in that from your home. Thank you. And now join me in the confession. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you in the name of your Son. Amen. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, with praise, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We welcome you to this table. Whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church, all you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives.
So on the night when our Lord was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, broke it, and blessed it, and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I offer you the bread of life. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Ministering to you in his name, I offer you the cup of salvation. And now let us pray together the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. It's time for the pastoral prayer. On behalf of all of us, let us pray. Gracious God and ever-present Lord, we have gathered for worship, believing, but also experiencing your promise to be with us always. Because in a very unique understanding of the church, all it takes is for more than one to gather together with at least one more person, and in so doing, it forms a church, a complete church. How cool is that? So, Lord, we marvel in your presence, always and everywhere, but uniquely present and with us right now. In that presence, we are reminded of those whose gifts enhance and beautify your presence, like the gift of music, public speech, and the gifts relating to modern technology. We thank you for the gifts and talents of all those listening and participating, especially those whose gifts and talents are known only to you. Thank you for the gift of giving, which seems to be a trademark of this community of faith. Help us to continue in our faithfulness. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Because you have promised to be with us, and all those who gather in your name, be with those all around the world who are worshiping today in the name of God and our Christ. In that recognition, we pray for your presence not only for those who are in church, but for the leaders in this world, both good and bad in our view. We don't know how it works when we read in Scripture that all leaders are appointed by God. But in our prayers today, we pray for peace, reconciliation, and justice toward people who need food, water, and clothing, and who suffer injustice. We pray for an end to the division in our country, even though we don't know how that will ever happen. We pray for those most affected by hunger, pestilence, war, natural disaster, and pandemic. Help us to renew our sense of hope, even as we are praying now. We pray for the sick, the dying, the lonely, some of whom are within our circle of love and care, and whom we mention right now out loud or privately. We pray, Lord, for continued blessing upon all our Mayflower family, including those who are separated by distance or for some other reason. We pray for the unspoken needs of our church and our own lives, even as we pray the prayer that we have been taught and know by heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed by this
For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, your and our labor is not in vain. Go in the love and the peace and the grace of God through Christ our Lord. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. His counsels guide, uphold you. With his ship securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet.
And just maybe that will happen next week in the parking lot of our church. God bless all of you as we say goodbye in today's worship.